621 1320 WILS. Whether it's MSU or across the country, you've heard of these sexual assault issues. Many times we hear the victims talking about how they're mistreated by the universities. Well, my next guest says there is a different side to the story. Stuart Taylor Jr. is one of the nation's most highly respected legal journalists. He's a lawyer, and he's the co-author of the new book, The Campus Rape Frenzy, The Attack on Due Process at America's Universities. Thank you, Stuart, for joining us on WILS.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
And, well, first of all, do you think we do have a problem of sexual assault on our campuses and the way the universities handle them?
Well, I think there is a problem with sexual assault on campuses in the sense that there's always throughout human history been a problem of sexual assault in all precincts of society, and the universities are no exception, although the idea that there's an epidemic and something unusual going on at the universities, either that hasn't gone on before or that's more sexual assault than elsewhere in the country, is absolute nonsense and has so been proven statistically by us and others.
When you say there's an attack on due process, how so? What are the universities doing?
They are setting up kangaroo courts. They don't even deserve the name kangaroo courts sometimes, because sometimes the single sex bureaucrat, usually somebody highly biased towards extreme feminism, serving as investigator, prosecutor, judge, and jury to railroad out of college with grotesquely unfair procedures any guy who's accused by any woman of any kind of sexual misconduct when they're both students at the same college.
See, because we hear from the victims who say, look, the perpetrator was allowed to stay in college, and I feel that justice wasn't handed in the case. So what do you say to those kinds of cases, then?
There are cases in which people were found responsible for sexual misconduct of some kind and were allowed to stay in college, although there's a lot more where they were kicked out. The ones we've seen where they were allowed to stay are usually cases where, if you look at the facts closely, it wasn't a rape at all. It wasn't anything illegal at all, even on the facts that the woman claimed and that the universities found to be valid. It was something like, well, we were both drunk and then we had sex, and so I didn't consent really, and I regretted it afterwards. Those are the kinds of cases people sometimes get kicked out for and sometimes get lesser penalties for.
Does the university, though, does it need to have, does it have to stand by the same criteria that our courts do in some way?
Well, they don't have to, but they put the same stigma that a criminal conviction does. You know, when people are kicked out of college or even just disciplined for so-called sexual misconduct, everybody calls it rape or sexual assault. Mm-hmm. It's not rape or sexual assault. If they were more honest and they called it, say, you know, sexual aggression or, you know, even sexual harassment when they did this sort of thing, it wouldn't be as bad. But in a lot of cases, the guy didn't do anything at all wrong.
So Stuart Taylor Jr. with us on WILS. The book is The Campus Rape Frenzy. Is there a clear criteria usually on how they decide whether or not to kick somebody out?
Nothing's very clear except that the universities themselves, you know, the Obama administration demanded a lot of procedures that are unfair to accused people. They left it to the universities themselves to define what's sexual misconduct or sexual assault, and they almost all go beyond what the criminal law or common understanding does. So, for example, the University of Wyoming, if the woman was voluntary, consented, sober, knew what she was doing, but maybe not enthusiastic, they call it sexual misconduct and discipline the guy for that.
Okay, you say discipline. They won't kick somebody. They won't kick him out. But
I don't know exactly how they've applied that, but that's what their rule says. Yeah. That it's treated as a sexual assault unless the woman was enthusiastic. You know, in other words, if the guy says, if two people have been dating for 6 months and having sex for 6 months, and the guy says, hey, let's do something, and the woman says, oh, well, I'm not really in the mood, but if you really want to, sure.
Okay.
Then a day, a week, a month, or a year later, she can maybe get him kicked out for sexual misconduct if she decides she wasn't enthusiastic.
Now, Stuart, you say it's a kangaroo court. As a student, can you bring a lawyer in with you?
you can bring a lawyer in a lot of places, but he has to sit there silently. He's not allowed to talk. So you can't really be represented by a lawyer. You're not in front of an impartial panel. The people who are adjudicating these cases are usually extremely biased. They've been trained to presume guilt. No cross-examination is allowed of anybody except the accused guy, which is an abomination in terms of any fair legal process.
How does it work? How does the questioning work exactly?
It varies from place to place, but typically there might be an investigator who takes statements from both people and then prepares a report. It goes to a panel of, let's say, bureaucrats. Sometimes they're professors, rarely students, because they discovered that students weren't that ready to find people guilty. And then a very strange process. No cross-examination. The guy is not allowed to see all the evidence. If the college has evidence that he probably didn't do it, he's not allowed to see that. If the investigator decides not to put it in front of the panel, they don't see it. And there are appeals, and sometimes the woman appeals after the guy is found not to have assaulted her, and an appellate, and then some higher level person, usually for a political reason, such as they're worried that at least when it was the Obama administration, the federal government's going to come down hard on them if they find anyone innocent. So sometimes they get double jeopardy. Basically,
so, are you saying you think the students should be involved? University students should be involved in deciding these cases?
I don't think the university should be deciding these cases at all. I think they should be channeling people who say they were raped or assaulted toward law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They can be treating them, providing rape crisis centers, psychological counseling, all the benefits of nice treatment. But in terms of saying this guy is guilty of or responsible for sexual assault, that's branding him as guilty of a crime and should be left to law enforcement.
Okay, but what if there is no clear enough evidence to pursue a legal case? What are you saying, that there should be no further action taken?
Well, the woman could, of course, file a lawsuit, and then she wouldn't have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. In principle, in theory, I think a kinder and gentler system that is not quite as tough on accusers as law enforcement is, and because it's not going to be, nobody's going to jail, might be warranted. But we've seen how the universities do this. They're incompetent at it. They're biased at it. They consistently discipline or kick out guys who did nothing wrong or certainly nothing criminal. And they've demonstrated that they're not fit to serve this function.
Is there a consequence, though, not only for the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, but for the victim also?
Well, the alleged victim. No. I mean, nothing happens to the alleged victim. In fact, typically these both parties were drunk during these things. Sometimes there have been cases where the woman was in trouble for getting drunk, and one way of getting out of it is to say, well, the guy raped me, so you can't punish me for being drunk.
That's happened. Seward, just a minute here, but is there any way to go back, though, once we have these systems in place?
Oh, sure, there's a way to go back. For starters, the Trump administration, which I'm not generally supportive, could wipe out a lot of very bad law that the Obama administration created out of whole cloth, illegally, really, because you need an act of Congress to do the sort of thing they did, and they didn't get one. So you could wipe all that out. That would be a good start. What would take a long, long time would be to change the culture at the universities, change the bureaucracies of the universities, and change the rules that the universities have adopted, the unfair rules, enough to get rid of the unfairness. And a better system would be if they just got out of the business entirely. I don't think the federal government probably should demand that they stop this, but I do think it should demand that if they're going to do it, they need to protect the rights of both sides.
Stuart Taylor, the book is The Campus Rape Frenzy. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you. Bye-bye.